May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have a little grandson whose mother often reads him stories before he goes to sleep, and often Bible stories. On one such night, his father, going in to kiss him goodnight, was fixed by the little boy with a big blue-eyed gaze and asked, "Daddy, did Jesus never talk about anything except God?" Well, whole volumes of theology could have been written around that question, and certainly must have been. But we don't know anything that Jesus talked about except God. We really don't have his table talk. We don't have his banter between him and his friends. What we do have is what the first Christians wanted and passed on. And what they wanted was what Jesus said about God. Everything else just slipped through the mesh. So the Gospels are made up of what he said and did about God, and nothing more. Now, I really love, in a pop sort of way, mystery stories. I may share that with some of you. Something to relax with. Who done it? How done it? Why done it? The Bible is actually full of mysteries. Not least, the mystery of God himself. Who or what is God? What do we or can we possibly know about him? Or even Jesus says to us and to his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" But the Bible's also full of clues, which is what makes it fun, actually, where one thing points often enigmatically to something else, easy to skip over, but nevertheless a pointer to a greater and richer truth, and ultimately to God. We call those pointers sacraments, sacramental way of looking at the world and our life in it. Rather, strangely and sadly, geography symbolizes in Canaan, a country where people are fully at home. Politics in Zion is a city whose foundations and builder is God. Now, that's rather ironical at the moment, isn't it? And certainly food for prayer. But there is no book in the Bible that's more full of such clues than St. John's Gospel, which we've just heard read today. And St. John's Gospel sees Jesus as the richest sacrament, pointer to God of all. There are seven times in that book where Jesus says, "I am this, that, and the other." In fact, the whole Gospel's built round those seven statements. I'll remind you of them. I won't ask you what they are. That would be a bit spoiling of them, wouldn't it? I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the bread. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in the Old Testament, which always, remember please, is the book Jesus grew up with, that actually formed his mind. In the Old Testament, we're told, again rather mysteriously, that I am is one of God's names. So when Jesus declares I am, this, that, and the other, he's saying something about his relationship with God. And something about God. If you want to know anything about God, then take note of me, he says. If you want to know what God cares about, then watch what I care about. If you want to know what God's priorities are, then look at my priorities. Jesus is a window into the mind and heart of God. So let's just move on a little bit from there. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. When he says that, what's he pointing to? What's he suggesting? Well, bread is what you and I call basic food. It's what we use to fill our tummies. It staves off our hunger. Bread for us, rice for Asia, millet for Africa, but all basically the same stuff. It's sustenance. Many, I mean far too many, in this world go without it. Have little or none of it. And that's a truth not to be ignored or brushed aside. You shall not see my face, says the Lord, unless your brother or sister is with you. But when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, firstly, he was thinking back. He was pointing back to a very significant moment in the religious history of his people when they were delivered from slavery in Egypt and longing for freedom in a new homeland to be provided by God. And in that journey, God provided food, bread, sustenance for them in the desert. And he did that demonstrating his faithfulness to and continuing care of them. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was looking back to that, or referring back to it. He was also referring to something that was going on at the present moment, because he said that in St. John's Gospel in the context of the feeding of the multitude on the hillside in the cool of the day with the bread and the fish. And he's also pointing forward to the same truth in his own institution of the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, when he took bread and wine, as we shall do in a few minutes. And then he points in all that even further forward to the fulfillment of God's promises at the end of time, which he pictured as a great big feast, a beano, a tuck-in. But he was also acknowledging that we do not live by that sort of bread alone. You and I are hungry people, aren't we? All of us craving for all sorts of things. Sense of dignity, significance, sense of belonging and assurance, sense of purpose and meaning in our lives, relationships, affection, love, and ultimately some sort of satisfaction. And we hunger after those things, often desperately, and getting into all sorts of confusion and trouble and sometimes misery in our pursuit of them. Looking in the wrong place, in deceptive places for them. When there is a wisdom and a knowledge of something enhancing and divine that Jesus embodies and lives by and invites us to join him in. Explore a larger map than the one you're used to. There's a popular TV program, which I actually don't watch, but who do you think you are? Well, you are, says Jesus Christ, God's beloved child. no more, no less. God's beloved child, called to reflect in your own life, each in our own particular way, that same love, forgiveness, generosity, by which Jesus says, I live and I share with you the self-giving love of God, free, unearned. That's the bread to feed on and live by. We call it grace. It's assuming nothing by right. It's learning to accept everything as a gift, and a gift to be shared. Give us this day our daily bread, it says at the heart of the Lord's Prayer. Well, I'm going to do something now which I assure you is not meant to put anyone on the spot, but I do think it's very, very near the heart of the matter. How many of us consciously say grace when we sit down to eat, acknowledging that all we have and all we are is by gift? I often forget to do it, but I think I'm a fool to do so, because if I'm concerned with the Christian life, it's a good place to start. It's a modest thing, but it's a good place to start. Two or three times a day, not to take food for granted, but to say thank you for it. You will, said St. Paul in one of his finer moments, you will always be rich enough to be generous. Jesus not only said, I am the bread of life, he also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A way to follow, a truth to explore, and a life to live in and by. Amen.